Hey, hello everyone. Please let me know if my sound is clear. All right, thank you. Thank you, Sister Mindy. And praise the Lord. Okay, thank you, Sir Gilbert. Hello, okay, a blessed Sabbath day to our remnant children of God. Welcome to our children's study hour, and welcome also to all the brethren. And please, if you have your prayer requests, you may put them in. I have many unspoken and the work that is spreading in different parts of the world. So please pray for them. Okay, we have many unspoken from Sister Mindy. And from Brother Dwayne unspoken, Sister Mary, many unspoken, and from Sister Ida unspoken, as well as with Sister Alvi, from Sister Joe, Brother Joe, many unspoken, and Sister Vanessa, many unspoken, also Brother Moore, many unspoken. And from Brother Gilbert, everyone on our prayer list, and Spokens and myself, Sister Pam and Spokens, Sister Mindy, Sister Fran, many and Spokens, Sister Leticia continued healing for Luna, still have the chest congestion and cough, and many and Spokens from Sister Daniela, Sister Sum has her unspokens. And for help with a legal issues I am dealing with and a positive outcome for me. For improved routine this week, good diet for Sister Lisa's arm to heal, for all those needing prayers for special health needs, and for blessings for all our church family on this Sabbath day. And from Sister Hannah, many unspoken also, and Sister Luna, prayers for everyone, for all the blessed Sabbath, and prayers for my grandma. Okay, we have many prayers today, and if all are already mentioned, let's all kneel. Let's all kneel, and please bow your hearts. Okay. Father, our loving God, we praise you for this beautiful seven-day Sabbath, a day where we can rest ourselves from all our cares and to have communion with you. Thank you, Father, for giving us this day, the day you have hallowed, blessed, and sanctified. And you made this. You made this for us, Father. Thank you. You're so good. We give all the glory and honor to your wonderful name, for you love us first, and for all the promises and blessings that you have given to your children for meeting all our needs. And even the desires of our heart, you still give them. You are so wonderful and full of surprises sometimes. And so we also pray for healing, especially for Sister Luna and Sister Marie, and also for our loved ones who are not yet in the fold. And also for, please help Sister Sum in dealing with her legal issues, that it will be a positive outcome for her. And also for our coming week. And also for those who are here, Sister Lisa also's arm, please heal her. And bless the whole church family, Father, as we worship you today. We praise you for all the answered prayer also that you have given us. And we can express how grateful we are because you are so good to us. Through your grace, we can grow more, learn more, and develop simple trust, a childlike trust that you require. And so, Father, we ask also that you please, Father, remind us of our unrepented sins and forgive us, Father, that we may be found worthy and clean in thy sight, that all of this prayer will be answered. And we ask this in the name of our loving King, Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. And this time, we shall be hearing your testimonies. Oh, today is the first Sabbath of June. We are half of the year already. So, yeah, please prepare your testimonies for later. It will be shared. And also now, you can put in your praises and it will be, I will read it and it will also be read later. Okay. So, while you type your praises, I will start with my praise. So, yeah, it's a testimony part. So, you can please put your thanksgiving and your praises. So, I praise the Lord for everything He has blessed us with, for helping my kids to finish their lessons. We're catching up because of a trip that we made in the Philippines. And so thank God for helping them and guiding them and giving them wisdom to do their lessons. And also I praise the Lord for guiding us in every decision, because we always leave to the Lord whatever plans we have, that He will guide us and that we will not falter. So praise the Lord for leading us all the time. And I thank God for the chance that He allowed us to work for Him. You know, the field, if we could see how we love to save souls. So the field is already ripe, ready for harvest. So one of our frontliners is no longer part of our number because he has some issues to deal with, and that the Lord already had exposed him that he is not worthy for the position that was given to him. And so that is Gadi Innocencio, one of the previous worker or the ministers in the Philippines. And so we pray to the Lord for additional consecrated men or people to work for him. So Satan is really trying his best. He is working double time, attacking us and also the frontliners for the purpose to what? To cripple the work. But God is mightier than the enemy. All he can do is to annoy and threaten us. The devil is no match with God. To our Father, he's no match. So the Lord says, if God is with us, who can be against us? So yeah, praise his name. He will never overcome us. So I want to share this verse. It says we have now numbers of praises here. I will be reading it. Okay. All right, in 2 Chronicles 14:1, it says that if the Lord is with us, no one can prevail against us. Okay. So now I will run through the praises I have here from Brother Jesse. He says, praise the great Lord that we have online services that multiple people from across the world can not only fellowship at the same time, but many people from across the world can attend church from multiple different countries. So we have praise his name. There are some people also who is reaching us. They are looking for church. So God is gathering his flock. Thank you, Brother Jesse. Sister Ida also, she has praise here. I praise God for his love, help, word, blessings, friendship, and answered prayer. Amen, Sister Ida. From Sister Mindy, she says, praise the Lord for this beautiful Sabbath day. Praise the Lord for all his many blessings, and that it's testimony Sabbath. We've been waiting for this Sabbath. So let us all praise the Lord and give him all the glory and honor. Amen, Sister Mindy. And now from Sister Sun, praise the Lord for the many blessings He's given us all. For the roof over our heads, food, my Bible, clothing, patrol, prayers, my church family, and most of all, for our hope of heaven with Jesus and the yearning for His presence day and night. Thank you, our precious and beloved, our loveliest and most glorious Lord Jesus. I echo that. Thank you, Sister Zoom. Now Jade is back, so she has praise. She said, I praise the Lord for keeping us safe and for safe travel and for the Sabbath day. And we are back in Oklahoma. They are back home after the long travel from Philippines. And that God kept my dad safe. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jade. Sister Junia? Praise the Lord for giving us another day to live on this Sabbath day. The wisdom I've received throughout this week, for the never-ending protection, and lastly, for my pet cat always giving me joy. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Jania. From Sister Luna, praise God for our church family for this Sabbath, beautiful Sabbath day. I praise Him for my grandma, Mom, Damian, and Gabrielle. Praise God for flowers and the animals. Thank you, Sister Luna. Praise the Lord for our families. All right. Brother Gilbert, I thank the Lord. I'm not as I was before. I thank the Lord for His many blessings. The Lord was, is, and always will be very good. Yes, that's true. Amen, amen, and amen, Brother Gilbert. Yes, we all love and we've been waiting for the testimony Sabbath, Sister Sue. And Sister Pam, praise the Lord for His bountiful mercies and tender loving care, even though I don't deserve them. Yeah, we don't deserve, but He's so good and loving. Praise His name. Thank you, Sister Pam. From Sister Fran, I praise the Lord for my salvation, the perfect peace that He gives to all of us. I also praise His name for His love, mercy, compassion, and His wisdom. I praise Jesus for His soon coming to redeem us. We can't wait for that time. He is surely our Savior and friend and King. Praise the Lord. Amen, Sister. Sister Fran and Brother Jojo. He says, I praise the Lord that we got to get home safe and that my dad was safe too. And that my God, some upgrades on the house. Oh, they have me. All right. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing. Thank you, Jojo. And now, Sister Hannah, I praise the Lord for His amazing grace and His mercy being new every morning. I would also like to praise the Lord for the trials that teach us so many lessons. God's loving kindness and forgiveness. His correction, the guidance and help of the promised Holy Spirit, and His many, many blessings towards us. Amen. So reading Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall not He with Him also freely give us all things? Yeah, that's a promise. So Ezra, the little boy, says, I want to praise the Lord that we had a good time in the camp meeting. Yes, they learned a lot. Thank you, Lord. And Sister Jade, additional, I'd like to add that the lightning last night stopped. Oh, there was a lightning last night. All right, praise His name. We have so many praises today. And any more that I miss? Okay, so all was read. Okay, so let's go now to our lesson. Okay, our lesson is found in chapter 14, Trials and Victories of Paul. So we've been learning a lot of his experiences when he worked and labored for the Lord. So this is found in Sketches for the Life of Paul, 1883, pages 143 to 140 to 143. Okay. So for upwards of 3 years, Ephesus was the center of Paul's work. So he was there for 3 years in Ephesus. And a flourishing church was raised up here. And from this city, the gospel spread throughout the province of Asia among both Jews and Gentiles. So it was the center, Ephesus, which was before the idolatrous city. All right, let's continue. The apostle had for some time contemplated another missionary journey. He decided again to visit the churches in Macedonia and Achaia. And after spending some time at Corinth, to go to Jerusalem, after which he hoped to preach the gospel at Rome. So he has a lot of plans where to spread out the message of God. In pursuance of his plan, he sent Timothy and Erastus before him in Macedonia. But feeling that the cause in Ephesus still demanded his presence, he decided to remain till after Pentecost. An event soon occurred, however, which hastened his departure. So he decided to stay longer because he still feel that they need more of his presence over there. So let's continue. The month of May. It was month of May. May was especially devoted to the worship of the goddess of Ephesus. The universal honor in which this deity was held, the magnificence of her temple and her worship attracted an immense concourse of people from all parts of the province of Asia. So that was month of May, where they give honor to their goddess, Diana. Throughout the entire month, the festivities were conducted with the utmost pomp and splendor. The gods were represented by persons chosen for the purpose who were regarded as objects of worship and were honored by processions, sacrifices, and libation. So I just remember in the Philippines too, every month of May, we have this, feast. And that is they march, and then what's the name of that every month? The Flores de Mayo. Yeah, we call it Flores de Mayo. And also all the kinds of graven images are being what? There was procession. Yeah. So continuing musical contests, the feats of athletes, and the fierce combats of men and beasts drew admiring crowds to the vast theaters. The officers chosen to conduct this grand celebration were the men of highest distinction in the chief cities of Asia. They were also people of vast wealth, for in return for the honor of their position, they were expected to defray the entire expense of the occasion. The whole city was a scene of brilliant display and wild revelry. Imposing procession swept to the grand temple. The air rang with sounds of joy. The people gave themselves up to feasting, drunkenness, and the vilest debauchery. Debauchery means extreme indulgence in sensual pleasures. So it's just likened to the Philippines every May. It's just the same. So this gala season was a trying occasion for the disciples who had newly come to the faith. The company of believers who met in the school of Tyrannus were an inharmonious note in the festive chorus. Ridicule, reproach, and insult were freely heaped upon them. By the labor of Paul at Ephesus, the heathen worship had received a telling blow. There was a perceptible fall in attendance at the national festival. So this time, because of the gospel that Paul spread, there was a lot of attendance that are not there. No more, only few attendance in that national festival. And in enthusiasm of the worshiper, the influence of his teaching extended far beyond the actual converts to faith. So praise the Lord for that. It will, instead of attending many converts, was brought to Christ. So many who had not openly accepted the new doctrine became so far enlightened as to lose all confidence in heathen gods. The presence of Paul in the city paid special attention to this fact, and curses loud and deep were uttered against him. So they hated him because of the truth, and many converts was made. All right, continuing, another cause of this dissatisfaction existed. It had long been customary among heathen nations to make use of small images or shrines to represent their favorite object of worship. So it's just the same in the Philippines. Every Flores de Mayo, they carry their little shrines, and then they have a procession in the entire town. So it's just the same. So or shrines to represent their favorite objects of worship. Portable statues were modeled after the great image of Diana, and now it is Virgin, it is Mary whom they carry, and were widely circulated in the countries along the shores of Mediterranean. Models of temple which enshrined the idols were also eagerly sought. Both were regarded as objects of worship and were carried at the head of procession and on journeys and military expeditions. An extensive and profitable business had grown up at Ephesus. So that's another form of business. They're going to sell these images and people would buy because of the festivity. So from the manufactured and sale of these shrines and images. Yeah. Those who were interested in this branch of industry found their gains diminishing. So they got few sale. So all united in attributing the unwelcome change to Paul's laborer. Demetrius, a manufacturer of silver shrine, called together the workmen of his craft, and by a violent appeal endeavored to stir up their indignation against Paul, because no more money is coming in. He represented that their traffic was endangered and pointed out the great loss which they would sustain if the apostle were allowed to turn the people away from their ancient worship. He then appealed to their ruling superstition, saying, "Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia." So the word of God was spread all over Asia. And this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our crafts is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. So they blame it to Paul. And this speech acted as fire to the stubble. The excited passions of the people were roused and burst forth in the cry, "Great Diana! Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" Okay, next slide. A report of the speech of Demetrius was rapidly circulated. The uproar was terrific. The whole city seemed in commotion. An immense crowd soon collected, and a rush was made to the workshop of Aquila in the Jewish quarter with the object of securing Paul. So they rushed to the place of Aquila and Priscilla, where Paul was staying. In their insane rage, they were ready to tear him into pieces. But the apostles was not to be found. His brother, receiving an intimation of the danger, had hurried him from the place. Angels of God were sent to guard the faithful apostle. His time to die, a martyr's death had not yet come. So with us too. If it's not time, the Lord will save us. So failing to find the object of their wrath, the mob seized two of his companion Gaius and Aristarchus and hurried on to the theater with them. So Paul's place of concealment was not far distant, and he soon learned of the peril of his beloved brethren. His courage was in keeping up with the occasion. He was ready to press to the front in the battle for his master, forgetting his own safety. He decided to go at once to the theater to address the rioters, but his friends refused to permit him to sacrifice himself. Gaius and Aristarchus were not the prey that the people sought. No serious harm to them was apprehended, but should the apostle Paul's care weren't face the scene, it would arouse at once the worst passion of the mob, and there would not be the least human possibility of saving his life. So, yeah. All right. So, at that time, the Lord protected his faithful servant, and it's not time for him. All right. So, we only have 5 more minutes. We will try to finish. We go now to question and answer. Question number one. No more break. Question number one. All right. Where's the question number one? Block was the center of Paul's work. Where is that? Here he raised up a flourishing church. A, Corinth. B, Lystra. Or C, Ephesus. All right. All are correct. The correct answer is letter C, Ephesus. Very good. Question number two. How long did Paul labor in Ephesus? Is it A, 2 months, B, 3 years, or C, 11 months? Let's see. All right. Some answers, letter B. And let's check. It's correct. Good job. Praise the Lord. Okay, question number three. From the city of Ephesus, the gospel spread throughout the province of Asia among both Jews and the Gentiles. Through yes or no? Did it spread out? And the correct answer is yes. Good job. You got it right. Very good. All right. Question number four. Paul contemplated another missionary journey. All right. But he felt that Ephesus still demanded his presence. So, he sent who? Where is it? He sent who? Timothy, B, Erastus, and Barnabas, or C, Mark, and Apollos? What is the correct answer? Hang on. And the correct answer is letter A. Good job. All of you got it correct. Praise his name. So number five. What month? The month of what was dedicated to worship the goddess of Ephesus? Is it January, B, March, C, November, or D, May? And yes, the correct answer is May. Letter D. Good job. Okay, question number six. Who was the goddess of Ephesus? Is it A, Venus, B, Diana, or C, Elizabeth? And letter B. Good answers. Great. Good job. Great job. Everybody's doing great. Very good. Number seven. Number seven. Why was there a noticeable decrease in attendance during the national festival in Ephesus? Is it A, the impact of Paul's teaching went well beyond actual converts to Christianity? B, many who were enlightened rejects the faith in pagan gods? Or C, the population of in Ephesus decreases? Or D, both A and C? Or E, both A and B. All right. Let's check if it's letter E. And that is correct. Letter E. Good job. Amen. And for my question number eight, Block, he was a manufacturer of silver shrine. He called together all the workmen of his craft. By violent appeal, endeavored to stir up their indignation against Paul. Who is he? Is he Jabin, B, Demetrius, or C, Amram? All right. And you are correct. Letter B, his name is Demetrius. Okay, for my last question. An angry mob rushed to the workshop of Aquila. They dragged Paul and stoned him to death. True or false? Did they found him and stoned him to death? And the correct answer is yes, it's not true, it's false. The apostle was not found in Aquila's place because an angel was sent by God to guard the apostle, and his death is not yet has not yet come. So praise the Lord, everybody got it all correct. Thank you, Lord, and thank you for the lessons that we learned about the experiences in the life of Paul in his ministry. Okay, so I will thank you everyone for your participation, and I pray that we are all blessed. And I love you all. I see you again next Sabbath. I'll turn you over now to Sister Mindy for our 10 Commandments review. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Love you all again.
Sabbath blessings, everybody, brothers and sisters. Can everybody hear me clear? Praise the Lord. Thank you for the wonderful study, Sister Janiza. Okay, so this Sabbath, we're going to have a two-part lesson, and it is called God's Law versus Moses' Law. So, Brother Joe, if you can please get us started. Many people often confuse Moses' law with God's Ten Commandments law, since they are both the same. True or false? Very good. You guys are all on your toes this morning. Yes, it is false. All right, they are not the same, and we're going to find out why. Question number two. Moses' law was the temporary ceremonial law of the Old Testament. It regulated the priesthood, sacrifices, rituals, meat and drink offerings, etc., all of which foreshadowed the cross. This law was added till the seed shall come, and that seed was Christ. True or false? Very good. The answer is true. Question number three. Galatians 3:16-19. Now to blank and his blank were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy blank, which is blank. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of blank, till the blank should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Fill in the blanks. Everybody's typing. All right, the first blank is Abraham. The second blank is seed. The next blank is seed. And the next blank is Christ. The next blank is transgressions. And the last blank is seed. All right, question number four. The ritual and ceremony of Moses' law pointed forward to Christ's sacrifice. When he died, this law came to an end, but the Ten Commandments, God's law, stand fast forever and ever. True or false? Very good. The answer is true. Question number five. Psalm 111:7-8. The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his blank are sure. They stand blank for blank and blank, and are done in truth and uprightness. All right, everybody's getting their answers in. The first one is commandments. The next one, the next blank is fast. And then the next blank is ever and ever. All right, praise the Lord. Question number six. Two separate laws involve God's law, Ten Commandments and Moses' law. I am going to read some Bible verses and ask you a series of questions, and you tell me whether it's God's law or Moses' law. Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Which law is contained in ordinances, God's law or Moses' law? Very good. The answer is Moses' law. All right. Next one. Next Bible verse. James 2:8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Which law is referred to as the royal law? God's law or Moses' law? Very good. The answer is God's law is referred to the royal law. Question 8, James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Which law is referred to as the perfect law of liberty, God's law or Moses' law? Very good. It's God's law. God's law is referred to as the perfect law of liberty. Question number 9. Chronicles 35:12. And they removed the burnt offerings that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people to offer unto the Lord, and it is written in the book of Moses, and so did they with the oxen. Which law was written in a book, God's law or Moses' law? Very good. It was Moses' law. It was, as it says in that verse, as it was written in the book of Moses. So Moses' law was written in a book. All right. Question number 10. Exodus 31:18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Exodus 32:16, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. Which law was written on the tables of stone with the finger of God, God's law or Moses' law? Very good. It's God's law. It was written on the two tables of stone with the finger of God. Question number 11. Deuteronomy 31:26. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for witness against thee. Which law was placed in the side of the ark, God's law or Moses' law? Now think about it, everyone. Which law was placed on the side of the ark? All right, the answer is Moses' law was placed in the side of the ark. All right, question number 12. Exodus 40:20, and he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staff on the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. Which law was placed into the ark, God's law or Moses' law? And just so you know, the testimony refers to the Ten Commandments. Very good. It was God's law that was placed inside the ark. Moses' law was placed on the side of the ark. God's laws, Ten Commandments, were placed inside the ark. Okay? All right, question number 13. Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace. Which law ended at the cross? God's law or Moses' law? Very good. It was Moses' law that ended at the cross. Where people get so confused and they think it was the Ten Commandments that ended at the cross, but no, it was Moses' law. All right, question number 14. Luke 16:17. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Which law will stand forever? God's law or Moses' law? Very good. God's law will stand forever. All right. Question number 15. You guys are doing a great job. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Which law was added because of sin? God's law or Moses' law? All right, very good. It was Moses' law that was added. All right, this is the last question for this part one. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Which law points out our sin, God's law or Moses' law? Very good. God's law points out our sin. It's like a mirror, and we look at it and we can see, oh, these are areas that I need to work on and ask the Lord to help me overcome these sins. Praise the Lord. You guys did a great job. All right, so now we're going to go over our Ten Commandments. So if you can get your Bibles out, we're going to be going over our commandments in Exodus 20. So let me know when you're ready. Ready, ready, ready. Everybody get ready. All right, so what we're going to do, I thought we'd do something different. I'm going to give you an example of obeying the commandment, and you tell me what verse and what commandment it is, or what commandment, what verse. Doesn't matter what order. Just let me know the number of the commandment and the verse. I'm going to make it really easy on y'all. All right. So the first one, this is an example, again, of obeying the commandment. Say you go shopping with a friend, and they decide to steal something, and you see them take it. Then you tell them it is wrong to steal, and they put it back. Then you share with them commandment number. And if you want to put the commandment in there, that's totally extra credit. But you don't have to. All right, very good. Everybody's getting their answers in. I'll wait a little bit. All right, that is commandment number 8, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Very good. Next one, you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you cherish him only, no other gods. Which commandment is that you're obeying? Which commandment tells us not to have no other gods? Now, there's a commandment about graven images, and there's a commandment about we should have no other gods. So I don't want to confuse the two. All right, very good. That's commandment number one. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right, the next one. You honor God's holy seventh day by resting on the Sabbath and doing no work. You attend church online and go on nature walks and spend time in God's word. Which commandment are you obeying? Very good. That is commandment number 4. And that commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. All right, next one. You are content with what the Lord has blessed you with. Therefore, you don't desire to have anything that belongs to someone else. What commandment are you obeying? Very good. You're obeying commandment number 10, and that's verse 17. And that one is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And that is verse 17. All right, guys, you're doing a great job. All right, the next example. Your father loves your mother, and he vows never to even look at another woman lustfully. What commandment is he obeying? Very good. That is commandment number 7. It's found in verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All right, the next one. You obey your parents when they ask you to help with chores around the house. What commandment are you obeying? Very good. That is commandment number 5. And that is verse 12. And honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The commandment with a promise when we obey it. All right, next one. You are always honest and never lie to your parents or anyone else. What commandment are you obeying? Very good. You are obeying commandment number 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, is that commandment. Very good. And that is found in verse 16. Next one. You go to your friend's house and you notice a statue of Mary in their front yard. You lovingly explain to your friend that they shouldn't have any graven images or worship them. And you let them know about commandment number... What commandment? All right, that is commandment number 2. And that's found in verses 4 through 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. All right, the next one. You never use the Lord's name as a cuss word, and when you hear someone using the Lord's name that way, you let them know it is wrong and share commandment number what with them? What commandment do you share with them? Very good. Share commandment number 3 with them, and that's verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. All right, we're on to the last one. You are walking with a friend, and they see someone on a bike that they don't like, and they say, I hate that person, and I wish they would fall off their bike and get hurt. Then you let them know that is wrong, and share with them commandment number 6. Very good. That's commandment number 6, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. And we know that if you hate somebody in your heart, that's the same as committing murder in your heart. You guys did a great job. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we were supposed to memorize commandment number 7. So start typing commandment number 7 in the chat room without looking at your Bibles. Everybody's typing. It's not too long of a commandment, so we should be able to remember it. All right, you guys are doing great. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Very good. And that's Exodus 20:14. Okay, so next Sabbath, we're going to have part 2 of our Moses or God's law versus Moses' law. We're going to memorize commandment number 8. So work on memorizing that commandment, and I love you all. God bless, and I will see you next Sabbath.